Welcome back to Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's your host, Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us right now on the hotline, covering the Falcons for SB Nation's The Falcoholic, he's Corey Woodruff. What's up, Corey?
Hey, what's going on, Patrick? How are you?
Doing all right, brother. So tell me about the massive panic that happened in Atlanta because Julio Jones locked his Twitter and deleted his pictures on his Instagram.
I swear, you know, it's really funny because I was watching television and then I looked at my phone and I started seeing these tweets about Julio Jones. And I thought that, okay, I guess he's opening that new car dealership in Atlanta. I mean, not Atlanta, in Alabama. So maybe that's what it's about. And people are like, is he being traded? What's going on? And I just think, you've got to be kidding me. What in the world has started this? So the poor guy, I think, just wanted to scrub down his social media. I've seen somebody say apparently he had done something in Alabama of teaching people how to use social media. He was trying to use it as an example of how to share things. I don't know, but it blew up into people thinking that the team was going to either like trade him or do something crazy. But all is well. Julio is still a Falcon. Everything crisis averted. So I think everybody, if you don't follow this too much, I mean, guys do things with the social media, and his Twitter had actually been locked for a little bit before this. So I just think he wanted to get things cleaned up, but it's kind of funny. It's like, you know, he's probably eating dinner somewhere, relaxing, having fun with friends, not knowing what's going on social media. So it was made for an interesting afternoon, to say the least.
Dude, you thought Chuck Schumer went and caused a run on a bank again. I mean, the way Twitter just exploded with, oh, my goodness, Julio Jones, he's not going to be there. Are they going to trade him? Like, dude, they're not trading Julio Jones.
No, the Falcons are too competent now to do that. Now, if this were 10 years ago, maybe they do something that's stupid. But no, this is the now Falcons. They're way too smart to trade away their best offensive player.
All right. Now, I mean, you look at that offense with Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, you know, Hooper has turned out to be really well. They got their two-headed monster with Freeman and Coleman. Ryan, I still think, is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. Their offensive line is much improved as long as Jake Matthews stays on the field. You got to explain this Matt Schaub to me as the backup quarterback. I mean, they are really just praying to God Matt Ryan never gets hurt.
Well, you know, Ryan has been incredibly durable, as I say, knocking on wood repetitively. He's only missed like one game or a couple of games in 2009 with turf toe. So he's had remarkable durability. He reminds me a lot of Eli Manning, who, you know, has been able to stay on the field for so long. And I'm hoping that Matt has a little bit of a longer career in terms of his peak than Eli seems to be having. But Schaub is an interesting case because, again, he's not a great quarterback still, but Schaub has done so many things behind the scenes to help make the Falcons what they are. He's kind of like a coach that also happens to be the backup quarterback. Like, you keep reading all these things here and there of how he helped in 2016 get everybody on the same page with Shanahan and Ryan, who kind of had some difficult times in 15 really getting each other's kind of pattern set out. They bring in Schaub, and that really begins to get ironed out pretty quickly. And then apparently Deion Jones credits Matt Schaub in practices as helping him develop on the scout team. So it's just weird. Like, everybody in Atlanta keeps wondering, okay, why is Matt Schaub still on the roster? He's really expensive. But I think the team is using him more for what he can do off the field and what he provides in practices and in development and what he provides with his mind. But then again, if something did happen to Matt and he goes down, then my hopes for this season would begin to dwindle pretty fast.
All right. Now, the Falcons have had some tremendous offensive seasons over the last few years. Last year wasn't one of them. What is the disconnect there with the new offensive coordinator from last year? Trying to be nice and not make, you know, alcoholic jokes, but
yeah, I mean, with Sark, it's really funny. Again, when you have a historic offensive season like they did in 2016 and then 17 happens, you begin to wonder, oh my gosh, what's going on? Sark actually had a better overall season offensively than Shanahan did in his first year. Like, again, Kyle Shanahan's one of the best play callers in the NFL. He's doing great things in, you know, San Francisco now. But really, like, if you look at the offense that the Falcons had in 15, Ryan was not comfortable at all. He was making dumb decisions that you're just not used to seeing. And last year, under Sark, Ryan was a lot more comfortable. What happened with the team was that they just became so predictable in the red zone. like the common misconception with Atlanta last year, they moved the ball pretty well. I mean, they would have more three and outs than you would maybe hope with that much talent. But their biggest problem last year is that they just didn't score as many points as we're used to seeing, because they would just get so the creativity would just disappear when they get within the 30-yard line. And again, that's bad, because in football you have to score points to win games. But, you know, I think with Sark, and again, like, and every Falcons fan went through like the Shakespearean drama last year trying to rectify with what was going on, because we just didn't expect this to happen. And maybe we should have, with a guy who had not coached for a little bit of time and had been out of game for a while, but, you know, still a guy that Dan Quinn thought would come in and do some good stuff. But I still think Sark could be good. I think he's going to be better next year. They got Greg Knapp in as the new quarterbacks coach, and he's been around the league for a while. He's not the brightest mind in the shed, but he's still a good coach, and he's a veteran coach. And I think the biggest problem with Atlanta last year is that they just lacked creativity and they lacked organization. Like, every game was something different. They were trying to be too much like Shanahan. But I think if you're wondering, okay, what happened to this historic offense, they lost their guiding light in Shanahan, and a guy came in and I think was working too hard to be like Shanahan. So I think if the team, you know, if he gets more mature and he gets more organized and he gets more creative in the red zone, I think they're going to be fine. Are they going to be like 16 again? Probably not. But right now, I think the best thing for Atlanta is just trying to get that red zone creativity going, and I think the draft could help with that.
Corey Woodruff, the Falcoholic, SB Nation, covering the Falcons. You know, one of the things that was really weird, you know, Julio Jones, I think Julio Jones is one of the five best receivers in the NFL.
Sure.
But he has some weird game logs, where one game he's got like 200 yards, the next game he's got 30. And, like, you'll see him, he'll have a great game, and then he's MIA. And he's a great game, and then he's MIA. Is that more Julio, or is that more the way that he's being used?
You know, it's kind of weird with Julio. He's not, they don't need him to be Julio Jones every game, which is the nice thing about some of the depth they have with their offensive weapons. And again, a lot of having Julio Jones, you use him like a chess piece. Shanahan was so smart to use him the way he did, because sometimes with Julio Jones, you use Julio Jones to get somebody else open. Because again, Julio Jones is a threat to make a play every single time he touches the ball or every time he touches the field. Like, again, when he's out there, you have to account for him. You can't just leave him open. You can't just maybe put a safety on him and just hope it works out well. So I think a lot with Atlanta is, even when he doesn't register, sometimes they don't need him to, because he's kind of going out there, being a decoy, being a diversion, and getting somebody else open. So, again, there are some tank games where they just really need him to take over. He takes over, and they do fine. But a good the thing about Julio that is a little bit worrisome every year is that his body, he heals really fast, but he is a little injury prone. And I think that you don't want to use him too much, because he does tend, again, he's like a really, really nice car. You know, when you scuff it, you can get it fixed pretty well, but, you know, it does show. But I do think that when you break down his, you know, his box scores, he's not exactly the most prolific player every single game, but that doesn't mean he's not having an impact. That may mean that game, they're using him to kind of take coverage away to get other guys open.
Corey, the Falcons draft 26. What are their biggest needs on defense, and what do you expect them to do at the 26th spot in the draft?
You know, it's interesting. Defensive tackle is the spot on the roster everybody kind of wrings their hands about. They had Don Terry Poe last year. He did a really good job down the stretch, but now he's in Carolina. And then they didn't bring a Tyber Rubin back, who was a good free agent pickup midseason that helped with the run game. Rashid Hageman, who was a draft pick in 2014, got cut, but he would have been a free agent anyway. He was kind of coming on before he got legal issues. They need some defensive tackles. They've got Grady Jarrett. He's a great player, but he can't do it by himself. So I do think that they will take a defensive tackle with one of those first three picks, whether they do it at the end of the third, whether they double up in the first and the third. They could certainly use it. But right now, I think if you're looking for what the Falcons will do in the draft, it'll be a defensive tackle. But when you're looking at the guys who they're visiting with, I think offensive line is an option. I think cornerback is an option. And I think linebacker is an option. So I would think that they'll go defense, but they have looked at a couple of offensive line prospects, even though they seem to have right now a group that would start and you would feel comfortable with.
The two guys I've seen most associated with the Falcons at that pick are Taven Bryan out of Florida, defensive tackle, and believe it or not, Calvin Ridley out of Alabama, the wide receiver.
Mm.
Of those two guys,
yeah,
who would be your preference?
Oh, Taven Bryan, absolutely. I mean, with Taven, he has that raw physicality and that drive, and, you know, it's like if Dan Quinn could build a player on Madden, I think it would be Taven Bryan. Like, if you look at everything that Dan Quinn likes out of a player, Taven has. He loves guys that are fast. He loves guys that are physical. He loves guys that can get up the field. He loves guys that have that explosive tendency to get off of blocks and get after offensive line. Like, that's his ideal defensive lineman. And I think when you look at Taven, he's got all that. The worry with Taven Bryan is that his smarts are just not where they need to be yet. But the nice thing about that is that that can be improved. A guy can continue to learn, continue to be able to play the game better. Because Taven was kind of a late come on. I don't think he really played ball much until high school. At Florida, he really didn't break out until this last season. The Falcons like these kind of guys. They like the guys who are big balls of clay that they can mold, they can draft and develop, and kind of get what out of them what they haven't really done quite so yet in their career. So I think with Taven, he's a guy that really meets the mold for what they like out of their draft picks. And again, there's always kind of a boom bust potential there, but with Atlanta's resources, they tend to be more booms than busts. Now again, with Jalen Collins, you saw it being a bust. But that was more of off-season concerns. So I think with him, you just see so much of what the Falcons like. I've seen Calvin Ridley a lot. I don't think there's a chance in the world of that happening. They've shown no interest in any sort of first-round receiver prospects so far. And we tend to see in their patterns that the guys that they visit with or they work out tend to be the picks first. The past 3 years, at least, we've known ahead of time who they might be interested in. So I think with Calvin Ridley, it's more of the idea of people being enticed by him being, you know, the slot corner. But again, that's just way too rich for a slot corner. Because with Julio and Mohamed Sanu in the lineup, yeah, Ridley would be really good. But I just don't know with the other things they need that pick would make as much sense as you might think.
Corey Woodruff covers the Falcons for SB Nation at The Falcoholic. You can follow him on Twitter at CoreyWoodruff47, CoreyWoodruff47. Appreciate your time tonight, buddy. Thank you very much. We'll catch up soon.
Hey, thanks, Patrick. Appreciate it.
Corey Woodruff of The Falcoholic with us on the hotline.